When you hear the term company town, you might think of Dow in Midland or Ford in Dearborn or Kellogg in Battle Creek, Whirlpool in Benton Harbor. But too many cities in Michigan have realized just how dependent they are on a single industry when the major employer shuts its plant down. Think about GM in Flint or the Ford plant in Monroe or any other number of towns that have lost major employers during Michigan's so-called lost decade. Mid-sized and smaller towns have known for some time they need to diversify the employment base, but that's a job with a lot of obstacles. Joining me now are two men who've researched this issue. George Ericchek is a senior regional analyst with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research, and Richard Longworth is a senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and the author of the book Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. So Michigan has been dominated by auto manufacturing, which during the good times has made Michigan a pretty wealthy state. But when it struggles, Michigan economy is really hit hard. While the state's been making some efforts to diversify, really this kind of starts in the city where economic developers have to take a hard look at the mixed blessing of having one major employer. George Ericchek, give some examples of towns that have been devastated by big plants shutting down. What should these smaller cities be considering as they assess their own situation?
Well, the two that would come to mind immediately would be, of course, Flint and Saginaw, where they had very good employers, both of them associated with the auto industry, providing really good wages and people working very hard. And the real challenge for both of these communities is that these major industries, the auto industry, developed a culture of working really hard for good wages that is a culture that is going to be more difficult to transform into one of entrepreneurship. I think they're both making headway on this, but that's the challenge. And the other challenge is both these areas, Flint and Saginaw, have very thin labor markets, which means that if they are able to diversify, they do have a challenge in attracting professional workers who tend to come in pairs. And with pairs mean that they also have to find jobs for their spouses.
Right. And I want to talk about the thin labor pool in a little bit. Richard Longworth, how does a city deal with the idea that it's not just competing with other states for employers, but it's competing with the world? What can these smaller cities do about that?
I think getting to what we're talking about, when a local economy is dominated by a big corporation, as George was talking about, this is a big problem because a lot of these jobs tied with big corporations are going overseas. You have seen this, certainly, in your places in Michigan that you were talking about. A poster child for a lot of this is Peoria, Illinois, where Caterpillar has always dominated the economy, still does. 16,000 jobs, no joke. But that's a lot fewer jobs than there used to be, and wages there are going down. Caterpillar is now in negotiations to cut wages, cut benefits. So a city like this, it's not going to throw Caterpillar away. It can't. It's a valuable citizen, but it can't really rely on Caterpillar for its future the way it used to do in its past. So it has to diversify. Talking with economic development specialists, a lot of them are a little worried about this diversification thing because they feel it would tell their major employer, like Caterpillar, that they don't trust them anymore. It hurts their feelings, in a sense. It's a very touchy issue.
So they're spending most of their time on business retention rather than attraction.
Yes.
Now, if you already have a major employer which might pay good wages, like we were talking about, how do you attract employers and, for that matter, potential employees when the labor pool might be pretty tight or thin, as you described it, George?
Well, I think one of the concepts in economic development is always trying to develop your cluster. So if you do have a major employer, of course you want to try and make sure that they're happy. But second, you want to make sure that your supplier base is as complete as possible. So one of the attraction efforts would be to make sure that the supplier base that is able to supply Caterpillar or GM or Ford within your local area is as strong as it can be. One of the things I'm fascinated by in economic development is there seems to be tension between industrial clusters, which seem to be more competitive, and the need, as Richard says, to diversify. And I think that's something that the economic development community is really struggling to deal with.
I was going to say, is the expertise within these economic development communities at the local level sophisticated enough to take this bigger look at diversification?
it's become kind of a cliche that for the industrial Midwest, the past is gone. Now let's build on the past. Let's ask ourselves what we know. There's a lot that we know. We know cars, for instance. The big assembly lines are going or gone, but you have a lot of smaller companies using very high-end knowledge in auto design, R&D, that sort of thing. We really know this stuff. Toledo, Ohio, they don't make that much auto glass anymore, but they are developing new ways of using glass in high-end industries. Akron, Ohio, the tire capital of the world, they don't make tires there anymore, but they know polymers, which is a molecule that's used in rubber making, so they have the basis of new industries there using polymers. Try and figure out what you know, not trying to import something new, not trying to be the new Silicon Valley, but figure out what you know, where your expertise is, and then go for the high-end stuff that really can compete in this new global economy.
Right. You mentioned Toledo. They're starting to make solar panels there, so they're using that glass technology for this. Let me just ask you, you mentioned Toledo and Akron. Are there examples of cities which have redefined themselves successfully after losing a major employer? I keep hearing about Yellow Springs, Ohio, which is really trying hard to redefine itself. Are there success stories?
That's hard to say. Possibly the best might be right here. I'm in Chicago right now, and Chicago has done this. We used to have the stockyards. We had all this meat packing here. Well, we don't have that anymore, but we still have our financial markets, LaSalle Street. Once upon a time, they did pork bellies. They traded in pork bellies. Don't do much of that anymore, but they know trading.
Yeah, you guys were the hog butcher to the world at one time. Yeah.
That's right. Now we've taken the knowledge that we had from trading and turned it into new financial markets that are real force in the economy here in the city. The big problems in this, and one of the big problems in a lot of these new industries, do they employ as many people as the old industrial base used to? The answer so far is no, and that's a big problem.
And to build on a couple of comments that Richard has made, which I totally agree with, the first is regarding whether or not the local economic developers in many of these communities are aware of the challenges. I think they are, and we see that in their drive to push their companies to explore new markets, to explore new products, to new fields. The second thing is that even for those areas that are able to diversify and recreate themselves, the troubling factor is that many of the workers, that's a very hard transition to make. Not only are there fewer jobs in some of these alternative production and service functions, but they require different skills. So I always imagine a 45-year-old working mom with two kids, and she's been working in manufacturing for 25 years. It's really difficult to see how, in many instances, she can change over to a totally new industry or a new product line. So that's the challenge. Not only are the new job, the new businesses maybe employing fewer workers because of productivity, but at the same time, they require different skill sets.
These are people, George, that whenever you get the change from a major economic change, like from the industrial era to the global era, if you get caught in something like that, you're in trouble. And this is a generation that is caught in this squeeze between two different economies, and I don't know what's going to happen to them. My hope is that these new industries and new development are going to provide good jobs for their kids. What's going to happen to this middle generation? In many ways, it's a tragedy, and we're seeing it playing out here in the Midwest.
Yeah, the only thing that I can hope for and turn to is a more aggressive role on the part of the community colleges to try and retrain individuals. There are 1 or 2 year retraining programs. It's amazing. Sometimes you do hear of success stories of someone who's been in manufacturing, who's been able to retrain into healthcare. But for a lot of the individuals, it's a very tough situation. And without, except for the avenue that community colleges can provide, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen either.
So let's say the two of you have a chance to sit down with city leaders, economic developers in a region in Michigan that currently has one of these major employers. What are the top three things you'd recommend they do immediately?
I would go with what George said. Really work with community colleges, but also talk to these big employers, the Caterpillars of the world. they are moving jobs out. They're not going to be the force in the economy in the future, but they're still based there, and a lot of their executives live there, and try to get them involved in a program to work with community colleges and local four-year colleges, working with to get venture capital, to get business plans, to work to build up incubators, to try and create new industries, to persuade these employers to help build a new industry. Not that the old companies are going, but these new industries are needed, and I think that is the first thing, to work with the economic power that you have and to work with the community colleges and the schools to try and tap a lot of the good ideas that are growing up there.
The other thing I would add, is that we have to think beyond the city now, that it's really important for these individual cities to think regionally and start looking at regional answers to some of these issues. So it's very possible that some of these cities, especially the smaller cities, could be totally built out, that they're chock full, maybe they have a lot of abandoned buildings, but we're talking about commuter patterns for their residents. So the key is, I think, to adopt a regional approach so that you can help provide these additional job opportunities that are 40 minutes away, which is a commute, but one that can still keep the residents employed. And the second thing is that when you do talk to these major companies, one thing that they are interested in is keeping their talent in the area. And so as for a city, it's really important to make sure that the level of service and the quality of service and of cultural activities are such that these areas still stay attractive as these major companies try and bring talent into the region.
That's something the Michigan Municipal League talks about a lot. They call it placemaking. I'm wondering, if one final question, a little prediction from both of you. Are we going to get to a place where we can stop calling the Midwest the Rust Belt and we might drive that regional effort to redefine it?
Well, that's a good question. We've got a long ways to go. We have a lot of rebuilding to do. I'm not entirely sure some of these old cities actually are going to come back. It depends on their ability to do this. One of the big changes, and George, I'd be interested to know if you've seen the same thing. About 5 or 6 years ago, you had civic leaders that realized what was going on. They realized this time was different, that the old days were gone. They really didn't have an awful lot of ideas what to do about it. I'm seeing a new generation of leaders, the new mayor of Flint, new mayor of Gary, the new mayor of South Bend, who not only understand what's going on, but have fresh ideas, who are willing to work regionally, and which, you know, as George said, and he's absolutely right, who are willing to work with local schools, who are willing to reach out across political boundaries. There's a new generation of leadership coming in, and I'm very encouraged by it.
George Arachek, last word.
Last word is, when we think about Rust Belt, we immediately think about manufacturing, and I think Richard said that we can't let manufacturing go. It's going to employ fewer people, but I think we still want to keep the manufacturing belt here. What we want to do is we want to sand off some of that rust.
George Arachek is a senior regional analyst with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research. Richard Longworth is a senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Gentlemen, thanks very much for talking with us.
It was enjoyable.
Lester, thank you.